Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glad to have you guys today visiting. It's Deb's son. Is it Gordon? Your son, Gordon, and his girlfriend, Selena, is it? Selena. Okay. Welcome you and welcome our friends back here and our sister up here. You told me once already, but your name, Michelle. Hallelujah. God's doing something, isn't he, today? Yeah. Yeah, everybody needs the Lord, don't we? Everybody. Don't ever get to the place where you think you've arrived. Because you stop growing if you do. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Oh, God, we thank you. Would you stand with me for just a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are healing the sick, that you are setting free every captive. We thank you, Lord, that the glory of your presence brings joy. Wherever your spirit moves, there is life. Father, breathe on this word today. Open our hearts, our understanding. Sow it into our hearts and seal it there. We bind every attempt of the enemy to rob, kill, or destroy. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. And we welcome you, Spirit of Truth. Captivate every heart and every mind in this place today, we pray. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this congregation right now. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Matthew chapter 5, continuing on the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 13. We're going to talk about salt today. Claudia, have you been able to continue to put salt on your food recently?
Well, I don't put any salt on it.
But it comes with. Are you still doing good with that?
Yeah.
Seems like God has healed you. She used to have a condition that if she had too much sodium, it would make her very sick. Yeah. Now, what about your hearing? Is that better?
No, the hearing is still needing to be.
You need. Come on up real quick. Come on up real quick. Come on, let's pray right now for her ears. Do you have any ringing in them right now?
Always do.
No, you don't. Go! Go right now in the name of Jesus. Ears be healed right now in Jesus' name. We command the ringing to stop right now and to depart from her now. Now, stop in Jesus' name. Loose her in Jesus' name. How's that?
Better? It's better.
Thank you, Jesus.
I can feel the
completely,
heat.
Completely. She feels the heat of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Shama rakita. It's begun. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Confirmed.
Who have been doing some excruciating enduring are going to receive Jubilee. Oh, praise God. Woo-hoo. Yes.
How many know what Jubilee is? On the Jewish calendar, every 50 years, the captives, the prisoners, or and the slaves would be given the option to go free, and every debt would be canceled. So it's a deliverance of the captive's soul. So if you're addicted, if you're hung up on anything today, you can enter into Jubilee. And that is a promise. It's not only for you, but it's a promise for this fellowship.
Amen.
You can be free in Jesus' name. You don't have to go through the rituals, okay, of the world. God is able in an instant to set you free. Come on. God is able in an instant to set us free. We believe in the Word of God. Not what the psychiatrist, a psychologist tells us. We believe in the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're free. It also means that debts will be canceled. Well, that would be good. But you know, there's a debt of sin that we owe to God when we break His law. And therefore, Jesus Christ came and became our sacrifice. He paid the price for our sins so that we could enter into jubilee. We could enter into the deliverance of the Lord, being freed from the power of sin. We don't have to be under the power of sin in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law reminded us that we're sinners. Christ came, fulfilled it, and has declared freedom to the captives. You know what forgiveness means? It means a cancellation of a debt. Yeah. No longer. Do I attempt to pay for something that I could never pay for anyways? See, some people, they do a lot of good stuff because they think if I do a lot of good things, it'll outweigh the bad and God will like me a little more. I'll go to heaven. The problem is sin remains. And you can't come before a holy God with sin in your life. And so we need the forgiveness and the mercy that Jesus gave us at the cross. He took our place so we could be free. Are there any free people in the house today? Thank you, Jesus. So don't leave here today without entering into jubilee. Because God loves you as much as anybody else in this place. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. No religious snobs in this house, right? No lemon-sucking Christians either. That was my first point. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Now listen. We all go through difficulties, don't we? There's a time to grieve, and there's a time to laugh. But laugh with those who laugh, and grieve with those who grieve, right? We share in this thing together. We are sharing in the life of Jesus together as a family of the body. I just want to say something without hopefully going too long into this, but I just want to say that if you want to know what's going to be happening in the church, take a look at Israel. Take a look what's happening in the Middle East right now. There is a great shaking in governments right now. And you can be sure that the enemy is going to be coming in and trying to overthrow even church governments. All right? So we've got to be on our toes. Israel right now is watching. They're just being quiet and they're hunkering down right now because there's a lot of unrest and the governments are being toppled. As we see what's going on in Egypt, and it's starting to spread, and they believe the Muslim Brotherhood are behind a lot of this. It's really a spiritual thing that's going on here. Because the purpose is to get to the believers that are there as well, and the Jews. And so we need to be on our toes, we need to be watchful and prayerful, and not allow the enemy, all right, to come in here and disrupt what God has begun. God has given us great and precious promises. I believe this is a year of jubilee for us. But at the same time, we do have to have our antennas up and be aware that the enemy is going to dispatch his agents, okay, to kind of disrupt. Because he knows that if he disrupts the harmony or the unity, then he hinders the flow of the anointing. And it's the anointing that he's afraid of. The anointing is the Holy Spirit of God. He's afraid of that because when the anointing comes, he breaks or destroys the power of the devil. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. He commissioned you and I to go and destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? To rob people, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life. So as for me and my house, we're going to get out of death into life. Amen? Amen. We're going to choose life that we might live. So God doesn't want us to be, you know, hung up, bound by the devil. He came to set us free. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians, too, that walk around in bondage. And God is saying, you don't have to walk around in bondage. I've already taken care of it. All you got to do sometimes is just repent. Be honest with God. Amen? Repentance is the beginning of deliverance. If He's making us aware of something we need to change, you better listen to Him. Would you say amen to that? Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, I did a little study on salt, and I discovered that there are at least 14,000 uses for salt. Approximately 14,000 uses for salt. So maybe we ought to pay attention to this when He says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, I've only got 13,999 points today. So we're just going to choose maybe two or three. But they're the ones that Jesus is pointing us to in this. How this applies. How many know that this word is applicable to us today? It is relevant to our everyday life. So He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I don't want to be trampled underfoot by men. And I don't want to lose my flavor. Because what good is salt, basically, if it doesn't have any flavor? Would you say amen? So let's take a look at this. In Mark 9 and verse 50, Jesus said, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Then He says, have salt in yourselves. Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Now, there's this thing in the Old Testament, and it's spoken of in Leviticus chapter 2, called the covenant of salt. And basically what the covenant of salt is a covenant of fellowship or friendship with God. And so it's out of friendship with God that we're able to be seasoning. If we do not have that seasoning in us, we cannot be seasoned, amen, somewhere. God wants intimacy, relationship, fellowship with humanity. God loves people. And He loves the world. Everybody He loves. Yeah. So you can put yourself in that. God loves you. Now, some of the purposes of salt is, listen to this, it's essential to health. You've got to have salt to be healthy. Body cells must have salt in order to live and work. Now, there are parallels to this, so many parallels, spiritual parallels. But you need to understand that we have to have salt in us physically to be healthy. Blood has salt in it. Sweat has salt in it, and tears. Blood, sweat, and tears have salt. Salt is an antiseptic. It helps fight infection, especially in the mouth. Anybody ever been told to rinse with salt water? Salt is still used today in some cultures as a sign of honor, friendship, and hospitality. They actually gift one another with salt. And when this was written, salt was very precious. They understood that. Salt was once so precious, it was used as currency for Caesar's army. How'd you like to get paid in salt? Guess what it was called? It was called salarium. Salarium. Where we get our word salary. We get our word salary. When you hear that expression, he's not worth his salt, guess where it came from? It meant one had not worked hard enough to earn his wages. Now, the primary value of salt is to be a preservative. If we are the salt of the earth, we are to be preservatives. Amen? We are to save life, not destroy life. We are to be a hindrance, listen, to the corruption of this world. I mean, I know that many things, many foods are processed with salt. It's used as a preservative to prevent what? Decay, corruption. We should be stopping the works of the devil, not adding to them. Would you say amen? And we need to allow God to put us in His divine salt shaker. So we can be sprinkled, all right? Wherever He wants to put us, so that we will add what? Not only we will have a preservative effect, but also salt's purpose is to add flavor, right? To season, so that we will be a good savor wherever we are. But we cannot be a good savor if we lose our savor, and you lose your savor when you compromise with the devil and the world. Come on. You lose your savor when you disconnect from Jesus. Just as salt adds flavor, we should be influencing the world around us. Now, another thing that salt does is it influences thirst. We should be so salty, come on, we should be so full of Jesus that people get thirsty for more of Him when they get around us. Yeah. Have salt in yourselves. This is not something that we produce. It's something that God gives. So if we're going to bear fruit, we need to first be impregnated. Amen? If you're going to have a baby, you've got to first be pregnant. And pregnancy comes through seed, right? And so God's Word is a seed that gets into the heart. And it begins to produce what? Life. First, there's the conception. And then there begins the process of growth. But growth is not first season until there's fruitfulness. Amen? The baby grows in the womb, invisible. And yet the time comes when there is a birthing and the joy of the mother. But just prior to that birthing, and the ladies will tell you this is true, it's not a happy time. Until after, right? And so it is in the spirit. There's times of travail. When we're in travail spiritually, we're going through some rough waters. But it's because God is bringing you out. He is doing a work in you and getting you ready for greatness in the kingdom. So don't be discouraged. Know that God is turning things around, working all things together for your good. Salt is to stimulate thirst. Jesus was, listen, He was really referring to this covenant of salt, which is a fellowship covenant. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. In every offering, He said, of your grain offering, this is in the Old Testament, you shall season with salt. Every offering of your grain offering, which was the fellowship or the heave offering, shall be seasoned with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offerings. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. It's kind of amazing, but you know, it is a heart that is prepared by God, that is seasoned by God, that brings pleasure to God. Come on. We don't have what it takes in and of ourselves to really please God. The only thing, do you want to know what pleases God, right? Is faith. I believe Him. I trust Him. And when you trust somebody, you let your guard down, you let the wall down, you open your heart and say, come on in.
Amen.
You're welcome here. When you really trust God, you will swing open the door of your life and trust Him to come in and to have His way with you, you see. You cannot say you really trust God and not open the door and invite Him in. So that's the beginning. Salt is necessary for us to add flavor, to be preservatives. 2 Chronicles 13:5 says, should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever? King David was given the authority, amen, to be ruler in Israel. And we know that it was of the seed of David that Christ was born, amen. And Jesus is going to return to that seat in the city of Jerusalem. And He is going to reign over all the earth. And He gave this covenant to King David, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt. Restored fellowship with God. God wants fellowship. God wants to hear from you. God wants you to listen to Him because He has good things for you. God is not here to condemn. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. For God so loved the world. Yeah, that's the truth. So any agreement that's permanent between God and man is called a covenant of salt. And this, listen, this covenant was also known as the eternal or everlasting priesthood covenant. The everlasting priesthood covenant. Do we have a high priest in the heavens today? Who is in an everlasting, amen, covenant. And it is a covenant of salt, an agreement that we might be called friends of God. If we will come by way of the cross, if we will come through the blood of Jesus, we can be forgiven, we can be restored, we can come into right relationship with God and be called a friend of God so that when we call, He answers. We have a high priest in the heavens, Jesus. He was actually a rabbi when He walked this earth. Yeah. And He's entered into His high priestly office. What does He do? He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. He prays for us. He represents us to the Father. That's why we call on Jesus. When you call on Jesus, all things are possible. He's there. And so we've entered in through the blood of the sacrifice, through the blood of Jesus. It is a covenant also that has a relationship with salt because there is salt in blood. And for you and I to be healthy spiritually, we must have salt in ourselves. Now we're going somewhere with this, so stay with me. Salt in the Old Testament was a sign of treasured friendship. God wanted fellowship with us. Salt in the sacrifice, every sacrifice was to be salted, was a reminder of God's unchanging love. Now we know that the Old Testament was a type or shadow of things to come. Amen? Salt had to be added to their offerings and their first fruits. It was not to be left out. And we thank God that He is loyal and faithful to us. Do you think that God may want us to be loyal and faithful to Him too? Because what is a covenant? But it's an agreement between two parties. And this covenant was a blood covenant where we came together by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We were reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. So that even as He is loyal and faithful to us, we should then, our response should be loyalty. Faithfulness to Him. Amen? Because we are in agreement. We are walking with Jesus. We're not in religion. We're not trying to perform for God. We're walking in relationship with God. And that brings life. That brings peace. Amen? when we are done with trying and striving to work hard enough to earn enough credit, you become a slave to your own desire to please God. And God says, the only thing that's going to please me is that you receive my Son and receive what He has done for you. That you receive my Word. My Word is forever settled in heaven. My Word is true. Believe what I say. That's all I'm asking you to do, is believe me, God says. Faith is believing God. And when you believe someone, when you trust your Word, when they say go, you'll go because you trust them. When He says come, you'll come because you trust Him. When He says open your heart, open your home to me, you'll open your home because you trust that person. How many know that Jesus is the most trustworthy of all? That's why in heaven there's continuous 24-hour-a-day praise going up. Continuous praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. Holy, holy, holy. Because He's worthy of praise. Worthy of honor. Worthy of glory. Worthy all power. For He has redeemed us out of every kindred, tribe, and tongue. He's brought us together, hallelujah, for such a time as this, at the ends of the earth. Jesus. Jesus said, have salt in yourselves. Listen, I'm almost through. He says, I shouldn't say that. He's not telling us to attempt to be salty in yourself. The Mormons do that, a pretty good job of that. I'm not here to pick on the Mormons, because there's a lot of good people in Mormonism. They just need to come to Jesus to get saved. The real Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. But there's a lot of good people. And they're usually very nice people. Very good people. Family people. Hardworking. Loyal Americans. Would you agree? But the problem with that is a fruit of self. And it's not a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the only fruit that God receives and accepts. Because you and I are not able to produce salt in and of ourselves, we must receive salt to be salty so that we can be salted. That's pretty good. I'll write that down. Thank you, Jesus. Have salt in yourself. And then He says, and then you will have peace with one another. Why do we get along in the Spirit, right? What happens is we start getting off in the flesh. We start to let ourselves go. We disconnect with Jesus. Amen. The salt begins to lose its savor. We start compromising the world. It starts to lose its savor. And then it's just like a tasteless thing. It's no good for anything. He said, and what will happen is when you once had authority, when you once knew who you were, when you once were walking in victory, now you're being trampled under the foot of men because you have lost your savor. When salt would be exposed to the conditions of nature where the rain and the sun would beat down upon it, it would lose its saltiness. So the salt that is connected to the stone or to the rock, they would just chip away that external salt, and underneath they would find salty salt. Jesus Christ is the solid rock. Amen? And when we are connected with Him, stay connected with Him, we are going to have our salt. We're going to have savor. And then we're going to flavor this world with the kingdom of heaven. Shut up. We are to represent Him, His kingdom government on this earth. And we cannot do that unless we are having salt in ourselves. So what am I saying? It's the same message we keep coming back to every week, is that God wants His people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Every sacrifice will be salted with fire, Jesus said. We're talking about the influence, the divine influence of the heart. We're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. We must be full of the Holy Spirit in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit. We must have the salt of the Spirit in us in order to be salted. Amen? To have savor. So Jesus wants to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Luke 3:16, John answered saying, when he was baptizing in water, I indeed baptized with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. One must be filled with salt in order to be able to salt others. Now, I want to say one more thing here. The salt covenant, are you hearing it today? Was a bond to be taken seriously because it represented a permanent relationship. And if broken, had serious consequences because of violated and damaged fellowship. How many know that God ever remains faithful to His promises? He's always true to what He promises. What we must do is cooperate with the Spirit of God. We must obey the Lord's voice. Are you with me? We must be loyal to Him just as He's loyal to us. Because there are serious consequences when we don't do that. How many know that God gave us His Word because He loves us? He wants to protect us. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He wants us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. His life will be manifested as a sweet, fragrant offering. Amen. Wherever we go, there should be a savor of life because we are connected to Him. And so when we disconnect, there are consequences, folks. Would you agree with me that life can get pretty stinky real fast when you disconnect? And if you've never been connected, God's given you an opportunity today to get connected to Him, to have a brand new beginning, a brand new start, where you can receive His life in you. And you can then, hallelujah, live victorious above the world. You don't have to be subject to sin anymore. You can have victory in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. What it means is that sin has no power over you anymore. You can make choices all you want, but choices have consequences. Even as a Christian, don't they? Yeah, God will forgive you if you repent. But guess what? It doesn't mean that the consequences of your actions are not going to follow. So I don't know about you, but I love the Lord and I fear the Lord enough to say, if God says don't do it, it's probably not a good idea to do it. And if He says do this, it's a great idea. Lord, I'm glad you, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. He wants you to be blessed. How many know God is a God of love? He is a God of love. The messed up world around us is not a result of what God did. It's a result of what man has done. It's a result of mankind being disconnected from its Creator. And selfishness is always a result. And selfishness has consequences. Selfishness hurts people. So God has come that we might have life, that we might be restored back to fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. We are called instead to be filled with the Spirit and to obey the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. How many know this? Let us not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Ah. I love being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jude verse 20 says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be released to pray in tongues, pray in your spirit language, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 12, speaks of the distinction between praying with the understanding, the mind, and praying with the Spirit. And one is praying in heavenly tongues that God gives. Amen? Sometimes even the tongues of men, but it may be from a different nation that God will have you represent. However, we need to be filled, intoxicated with the Spirit of God. How many like to get drunk? What'd you raise your hand for, brother? We're talking about getting drunk in the Spirit, right? Yeah. When you are, in the sense, God's love is so powerful and so wonderful and so glorious that it makes people get giggly sometimes, right? Yeah. You just get overwhelmed with the joy of His presence. You're getting drunk in a sense. You're getting giddy. And it says, be filled with the Spirit so that you're not going to be, living a wasteful life, but you're going to be living a kingdom life. You're not going to be living for temporary things. You're going to be living for eternal things. Because your mind is going to be set on heavenly things. Amen? So being filled with the Spirit, brings us into a place where you're immune to so many things. Things that used to bother you, water off the back. Come on. But when we're not filled, when we don't stay filled up, when we don't pray in the Holy Spirit, when we don't build ourselves up, when we don't pray, period, we get weak. And all of a sudden your armor begins to get thinner and thinner and thinner, and all of a sudden the enemy comes and goes, wah! And he hits you right with a dart. Right where the chink in the armor is. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got the armor of God on, and the things that normally would really tick you off or bother you, it's like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the place God wants us to live and abide in. When we get hit and you recognize that your strength is small, what should we do? Get mad at God? No, run to God. Run to Him for grace, for salt, so that we will become salty again. Wow. God wants His people full of the Holy Spirit to walk in the Holy Spirit every day. That's the only way that people are going to really see Jesus. That's the only way that people are going to know that what we're talking about is a real thing. When they see that sick people get healed, when gold teeth appear in people's mouths, amen? Yep. When miracles take place, when backs and shoulders and arms and legs grow out and all kinds of awesome kingdom things happen, they will say, wow, this is not just a theory, this is reality. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is among you now. It's here. It's here today. God wants to release you from bondage. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. And He wants to give you power so that you can rise on wings as eagles, so you can soar above those things that would drag you down and destroy you. You see, there's a snake line around the earth. The eagles always build their nest above the snake line so the serpents can't get to them. And they rise on wings as eagles. They soar, if you will, on the Spirit. And when we soar with the Spirit, we live in a place where sin cannot molest. We live in a place where the enemy cannot defeat you. How many feel like, yeah, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit then? I need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to pray in the Spirit. I want to suggest to you today, we're going to dismiss in just a minute here. If you feel like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, I want to get my heart right, I want to get free, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I really want to serve Jesus. I really want to serve God. I want to be right with God. That when we dismiss, you just come on down here and we're going to pray with you. And God's going to meet you in a very dramatic way. I'm telling you, God will meet you if you respond to this invitation. I say that with complete faith. Because I know my God is faithful. And I know that God is drawing someone this morning. He's calling you. He's calling you. Now, you can do the Jonah thing. You can say, oh, not right now. I'm going to still do my own thing for a while. But guess what? God has a big fish out there for you. And He's going to swallow you up. He said, no, you don't. I love you too much. So, would you bow your heads?